Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net.
And welcome to another edition of Live on Era, the Irish programme. Thank you for tuning our way this afternoon. I do hope you can stay with me through until 7. I have what I think is a jolly nice programme lined up for you. And as always, the contact details for the programme is ger@tre.radio. I am still in Ireland, so the programme coming to you tonight from a very chilly, but you know what, not a bad day weather-wise. So hopefully it is nice where you happen to be. What do we have this evening on the programme? Well, if you were watching the Irish news or listening to it or tapped into it in any way, you will know that the wonderful actor and comedian Neil Tobin died at the age of 89 during the week. So there's going to be a little tribute to him. And there are two reasons as to why we do it. I'll explain that very shortly. You are familiar, I am sure, of the rioting that is ongoing and has been for many months now in Hong Kong and how it has been developing over the last number of weeks. And you will know that universities have been closing and students, foreign students, have been sent home or are going to be sent home. Well, we link up with an Irish student who is currently in Hong Kong and will be making his way back to Ireland very shortly. And he gives us a little bit of a flavour as to what's happening. And that actually is a piece that was given to me by Fran Curry and Ben from Tip FM, because it was Fran in Tip that interviewed him. But we'll tell you more about that a little later on. George Lee and myself, the two G's, we will have our G2 summit as per usual, looking back at some of the news stories that made headlines in Ireland over the last 7 days. We'll have some famous Irish birthdays. There will be more information on the top 10 Irish songs and artists that we are looking for. And I will be playing the number one song in Ireland on this very day back in 1966. So, will we give you information on the top 10? I started a quest for the top 10 Irish songs or Irish artists on the programme a number of weeks ago, and I've had great reaction. Everybody seems to have a favourite Irish song or a favourite Irish artist. And so I said, let's put the top 10 together, and I'll present it to you on the programme that we have just before Christmas. And I'm getting a great reaction to it. If you would like to nominate somebody or a particular song, you don't have to send me your top 10. You don't. Just one will do, or two, or three. It's entirely up to yourself. And if you would like to do that, you can email it to me. That's the best way to get it to me. ger@tre.radio. I'll come back to it in the fourth part of the programme, because I'm going to play two songs that have already been chosen from people who are listening to it. And thank you for that. So now, let's have a look at some of the people that are celebrating birthdays this coming week. Some of them still with us. Some of them sadly have departed. For instance, today being Monday the 18th of November, a chap by the name of Stanhope Forbes, doesn't sound terribly Irish, does it? No, he was an artist. He was born in Dublin in 1857, and he was a member of the influential Newlyn School of Painters. Now, people like Roger Comiskey might be familiar with that. And he might tell us at some point what the Newlyn School of Painters was. Anyway, tomorrow, Tuesday the 19th of November, we remember Margaret Emmeline Conway Dobbs. There's a mouthful for you. She was an Irish historian and language activist. She was born on that day in 1871. Dennis Brosnan, who is very much associated with the Kerry Group in Ireland and its success, was born in Tralee on that day in 1944. And Jack O'Shea, the wonderful Kerry footballer, was born in Cahersiveen in 1957. Wednesday is the 20th of November. Richard Rothwell was born in Athlone in 1800. He was a 19th century portrait and genre painter. And of course, we all knew that. We did, yeah. Thursday, the 21st of November, Joseph Mary Plunkett, a writer and also an Easter 1916 rebellion leader, was born in Dublin on that day in 1887. Neil Tobin, the actor and comedian who passed away last week, would have turned 90 on Thursday. He was born in Cork on the 21st of November, the second reason that we'll be paying tribute to him tonight. United Irishman Thomas Russell was born in County Cork in 1767. And Eamon Coughlan, the runner and the Olympic medalist, also he was a world champion, wasn't he? He was born in Dublin on that day in 1952. Friday is the 22nd of November. Justin McCarthy, the novelist, was born in Cork in 1830. That's how they speak in Cork. If anybody from Cork is listening, I apologise. Donna McDonagh, poet, dramatist and lawyer, was born in Dublin, because that's how they talk. Anyway, 1912 he was born. Saturday is the 23rd of November. Herbert Trench, poet, dramatist and theatre producer, was born in Avonmore in County Cork in 1865. And Sunday is the 24th of November. Geraldine Fitzgerald, the actor, or I suppose she would have been called an actress back then, was born in Greystones in 1913. And a fellow by the name of Lawrence Stern, the novelist, he was born in Clonmelon, County Tipperary, in 1713 on the 24th of November, which is next Sunday. There we go. Right, I did say we'd pay tribute to the late Neil Tobin. He gave a good old battle. He died just a few days short of his 90th birthday. And I've chosen a couple of stories. This was actually taken from an event that he held, an old cabaret event. Do you remember the old cabarets? So the recording isn't great, but you'll adjust to it after a minute or so. And there's one or two, let's say, not cleanest words in the world, but I've left them there because it's kind of all in context. And the reason I was doing those accents was because Neil Tobin, as an actor and as a comedian, loved just to take the mickey out of other people's accents, like the Dubliners and the Cork lads and the Cavan lads, and he'd have a go at the Midlands and all that kind of stuff. And you'll hear all of that in this from the late Neil Tobin.
Thank you very, very much indeed. And since I don't anticipate getting a bigger hand than that for the rest of the night, in conclusion, let me say that you're all very welcome. It's nice to see so many old familiar faces. Well, old faces anyway. This is going to be an evening, despite the start, of moral and educational entertainment. We are going out to better you and make you better people. And for that reason, here beginneth the first lesson. Geography. Ireland, the geographers tell us, is an island. It's 300 miles long and 150 miles thick. And it is inhabited by an admixture of races. You have Celts, Danes, Normans, Saxons, Anglo-Saxons, Huguenots, Palatines, Orange men, Scotsmen, and a number of subspecies, such as Yalabellies, sheep stealers, Herren stranglers, stone throwers, cute cork whores, and main Cavan bastards. But easily the most entertaining or the most interesting of these subspecies are the Dublin men, now almost a vanishing race, but still with us in sufficient numbers to man the terraces of Hill 16 in Croke Park. from which advantageous position they throw toilet rolls at the referee. For this reason, they are known as the Jacks. Now, the most interesting characteristic of a true Dublin man is his capacity for indignation. A Dublin man would rather be indignant than happy any day of the week. And I'll give you a few examples. Take the man who was cycling home for his lunch one day, and he was passing up Tara Street near the fire brigade station when he saw men running around with hoses and carrying out fire drill. So he got down off at the bike, and he looked on very approvingly at all this carry-on until somebody pulled the wrong lever, and a jet of water shot out of a hose, hit him in the chest, sent him spinning across the street, and left the bike in smithereens on the other side. So he got up, wiped himself down, looked at the fireman and said, "Jeez, you wouldn't do it to me if I was on fire." Another man from Ringsend who had the same sort of disposition worked all his life as a fitter or a plumber, or at least in some job that never necessitated wearing anything but dungarees or dungareens. And coming towards the end of his working life, he won a lot of money in the football pools, and he decided that he would go on a world cruise. But as the date of his departure approached, some of his friends began to worry because he didn't seem to be making any preparations. And one of them came to him and he said, "Listen, isn't it about time you're getting some gear for this trip of yours? I mean, you're always wearing them dungareens. Surely to God you're not going to go around the world in dungareens." "So, well, I don't know. I was thinking I might get a suit, but a few weeks I'd be wearing it. It wouldn't be worth me while. I'd only have to take it off when I come back, you know. But it might be no harm if I was to get a new set of dungareens." So he got the new set of dungareens, and on his first evening at sea, he was promenading up and down the first class deck when he heard the sound of music and dancing coming from the first class lounge, and he went over to investigate. But as he did, the steward stepped forward and said, "I'm awfully sorry, sir, but this is the first class lounge." "He said, but I'm a first class passenger." "No, no, sir, we don't want any trouble, do we? That's it, come along." And he got him by the elbow and he led him below deck. But later on they checked the list of passengers and they found he was a first-class passenger, and instructions were given that amends should be made immediately. So the steward came back to him and he said, "Captain's compliments, sir. Captain will be awfully pleased if you would dine with him this evening." "So what kind of a ship is this?" "First of all, you wouldn't let me into the dance. And now you just want me to take me meals with the crew." And this recession, as you know, it caused gloom and doom everywhere. One man in the Midlands was so upset that he went to the doctor and, well, to the psychiatrist, really. And the psychiatrist said, "Yes, yes, the gloom and the doom." He said, "Well, it's not only that, doctor. It's more of a personal matter, really." "And what is it?" "Well," he said, "it's the missus." And he said, "And what about her?" "Well, I tell you this, she treats me like a dog." "I see. Well, get on the couch there." "But sir, that's the point. I'm not allowed on the couch." But as I say, this recession hit everywhere, hit Dublin very badly. The corporation found they had no money whatsoever to carry out any sort of improvements. They really had to do something desperate to keep up their public image. And they scraped through every account they could find in order to start some sort of a building program. And they managed to raise £3,000 from various accounts. And the only building they could manage for that, naturally, would be a very small one. And the only one they could think of was a public convenience, and a very small one at that. So, but anyway, they invited tenders for this job, and they only got three applications. And the first man in with his bid was a Dublin builder. And they said, "Well, what's your bid?" "Well," he said, "I'll tell you this now. I wasn't going to bother, you know. You know, I wasn't going to bother me arse, like, applying. I know that is a crude expression, but in view of the nature of the building you have in mind, I think it's an appropriate one. Well, anyway, I know that you're a stuck for the thing, and that's, like, I'm a Dublin man myself, and I don't want to see you embarrassed or anything like that, so I will do the job for £3,000. because I know you have only 3 grand anyway. I mean, I got that on the grapevine. I said, well, that's very interesting, very kind of you, but we have to have a breakdown on these figures for our accounts. Oh, yeah, well, I suppose be £1,000 for materials, to be £1,000 for labour, and to be £1,000 profit. I think that's a reasonable markup, you know. I mean, you wouldn't get much better than that, you know. I mean, all right, like this, we'll let you know. So the second man in was a builder from Cavan. And they said, and what is it? He said, oh, £6,000. Said, 6,000. Yeah, £6,000. And they said, and what is the breakdown in that? Well, there'll be £2,000 profit anyhow, for the start. And you can divide the rest of, like, 2,000 for labour or material or something like that. Anyway, 6,000, a good round sum, you know, like, you wouldn't get the better of that now. And I'd be only able to hold that now to Friday, you know, couldn't hold that. Because, you see, with all the inflation and everything, you know what I mean? Like, there's, all right, we'll let you know. So the last man in with his bid was a builder from Cork. And they said, and what is your... Oh, £9,000. £9,000. And what is the breakdown on those figures? Well, there'll be 3,000 for you. 3,000 for me, and we give the job to the Dublin fella.
I love that story. I heard it many, many years ago. Firstly, that final story that you just heard there from the late Neil Tobin. And we remember him this week as well because he would have turned 90 on Thursday. Neil Tobin. We'll hear more from him. And yes, you know what? We haven't had Ben on the programme for a long time doing the comedy bits. I've been kind of up the walls with various things. And so has he. And trying to get the two of us together to do a recording session or to do a link has proven to be very difficult. But it hasn't been put away. But he will be back to us very shortly to do a few more pieces of comedy and introduce them. But this week it was appropriate that I would introduce the late Neil Tobin. Right, let's do a quick break. Come back to me just after that. And George and myself will be talking about the week's news in Ireland. The past week, obviously.
Live on air. Presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net. Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
It's that time of the week again. Time for the G2 Summit with the two Gs, George and Ger. I'm the Ger. George is over there. How are you, George?
I'm the George.
Do you know what I noticed last week when I was editing this? We both have squeaky chairs. So will you get me a new chair for Christmas and I'll get you a new chair for Christmas?
I will. Does that mean that I don't have to get you the Chuck Mallows?
Chuck Mallows. We have this running thing for the last 40 years, whereas he buys me Chuck Mallows, I buy him Chuck Mallows, so we don't have to buy anything at all. George, had you a good week?
I had a great week, Ger. You know, there was a fantastic thing that I went to on Tuesday night.
Oh, here we go. Yes.
Yeah, there was all sorts of affirmations going on and people been told how wonderful they were and all of that. And look, major congratulations to you, Ger. I know you wouldn't put it on the script, but you had a fantastic night for the launch of your book. And we were all delighted to be there. And well done to you. It really was a super night.
Thank you.
And well attended.
Absolutely. And thanks very much. And the book is available at emeraldconnection.net. You see, you were supposed to do that, Ed.
And all good bookshops and a couple of dodgy ones.
That's right. Or a lot of dodgy ones and a couple of good ones. George, let's get this thing rocking and rolling. Thank you for that, by the way. Let's get it rocking and rolling. An air ambulance service, which was based in Cork, is set to provide assistance 4 days per month from a new base in Roscommon to act as cover after the Department of Defence said that it would withdraw its Athlone-based air ambulance for 16 days between now and February of 2020. The Irish Community Rapid Response, which is charity funded, will base its helicopter beside Roscommon University Hospital for the assigned days. This is starting to brew up into a very nice little row, all centred around the treatment of the members of the Defence Forces, and basically what people are suggesting is that you can't get the Air Corps pilots because they're not paid enough, they're not treated well enough, and that's just another arm of the Defence Forces that's under severe pressure.
It is, Ger, and I suppose, look, there's so many layers to this and so many agendas going on here, I suppose that you never really know what you're dealing with here. But look, the bottom line, I suppose, is that they are asking this charity to cover what should be and is an essential service. If I remember correctly, when this Irish Community Rapid Response was being set up. It had scorn poured on it from all sorts of official channels, and now they're looking for it to cover the Air Corps.
Are they paying for this? Because it's unclear from what I've heard so far. I'm unclear as to whether they're being paid or not.
Well, that's not very clear in the article that I followed on this, because Minister of State with responsibility for defence, Paul Kehoe, said that the suspension of the Athlone service will not put lives at risk due to the contingency plans in place. Now, that doesn't exactly fill me with awe and wonder.
He said that it was purposely left until this time of year because, okay, there's less daylight hours, but there's less need. Sure, you can't determine when an emergency is going to come.
If there's an emergency there, you want to have your ambulance.
Correct.
And if it's above in Roscommon, it means it's not down in Cork, you know. And there is a half an hour, three quarters of an hour flying time between the two places.
There is, but the other good thing is that, in fairness, if it is in Roscommon, and the Air Corps one is based in Athlone because it's the centre of Ireland, and so it can get to places equally. But his point was, well, look, if something happens in Dublin, it can get to from Roscommon to Dublin faster than Cork and all that. But sure, look, if my aunt had, you know what. So, it's going to be interesting to see how this one pans out.
Yeah, okay.
All right. As you say, George, in that particular story, a lot of politics at play. And Fine Gael TD, Maria Bailey, very much in the news as well. She's been removed from the party's ticket for the upcoming general election following a meeting at Fine Gael headquarters in Dublin. And in a statement, Miss Bailey said that she was disappointed with the executive decision, or the executive's decision, and that she would take time to reflect on it. This, I suppose, really was a no-brainer. She kind of had to go, didn't she?
She did, and on a level, I suppose, you'd feel sorry for her.
Mm-hmm. On a human level.
Human level. I mean, this has been her life. She has worked her way through the council. She's worked her way up onto the Fine Gael ticket. You know, she got elected. She was, by all accounts, a very good TD for the area. And here she is now with a major problem because of an incorrect judgment that she made. Now, you know, does she deserve to be removed from the ticket? Again, let's go back and say there is probably a lot of politics going on here as well. She is in one of the most volatile constituencies in the country, in Dunleary. Right. It's also one of the bellwether constituencies very much. And they say that if you can deliver Dunleary, you deliver the country. She was advised by Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue and the Party General Secretary Tom Curran that her deselection was based on a motion by Fine Gael members in her constituency asking for an urgent review of the general election candidates in the area. You see, she found herself in the middle of a storm earlier in the year, for those that don't remember, after it emerged that she'd filed legal proceedings against the Dean Hotel in Dublin, claiming she'd been injured when she fell from a swing at the premises. After withdrawing the claim, she went on RTE Sean O'Rourke programme, and she had to defend her course of action, leading to further criticism of her handling of the fallout from the scandal. I'm sure this wasn't an easy decision for Fine Gael either, because quite honestly, after the next election, having her seat or not having her seat
could make a difference
between Leo Varadkar being Taoiseach or not being Taoiseach. It also opens the door for other candidates now to come in, and perhaps even if Maria Bailey decides to run as an independent, to split the Fine Gael vote. It could actually take out two candidates rather than just taking out one.
All right, George, we're going to stay with politics with this one, and a call by independent TD Danny Healy-Ray to allow rural drivers a permit to drink alcohol have been dismissed as dangerous nonsense. Healy-Ray has again made controversial comments about drink driving, telling the Dáil that the closure of pubs is killing rural areas. And when you look at things like post offices are gone, banks are gone from rural areas, you have local shops closing down, you've got local pubs closing down. It's really eating into the social fabric of rural Ireland, isn't it? Because these visits to the pub for the odd pint might be just the only social contact that lads and girls have in any given week.
Yeah, Ger, and I mean, it's very easy, I suppose, for us to take Danny Healy-Ray and the Healy-Rays and say, yeah, look, they're talking out through both sides of their mouth, and what silly nonsense are they going on with? But they're actually right in some ways. I mean, on another way, look, you can see why, you know, you can't drink and drive. And that's as plain as the nose on your face to everybody. But we do have an issue here, and it's an issue that needs to be dealt with, I think, from an Irish perspective, that rural Ireland is dying. No matter what way we look at it, as far as we have come, we have managed to introduce an element of rural isolation that has never been seen in Ireland before. We've all been in the pub where the man has arrived in the pair of Wellingtons after a day in the bog, yeah, or after doing the cattle, or after whatever it is, and he sits down and he has his pint quietly in the corner, and he might go out and smoke the pipe or have a fag outside the door. And we've done that to him as well, I suppose, in some respects. That man has no way home, and that's where the difficulty arises. Maybe as a society we need to relook at this, and maybe we need to be more neighbourly. If we're going to introduce draconian laws like this, and it's a little bit like the carbon taxes and everything else, Jordan, the laws of themselves are not a problem. The difficulty is the law of unintended consequences here. And the unintended consequence in these drink driving laws is that the rural man living up on the top of the mountain, who might be a bachelor farmer, is completely isolated. And, you know, neighbourliness isn't what it used to be either. And other people are very private and they don't want people to be involved, I suppose, and that's fine too. But I think there has to be a happy medium found here somewhere, or else we're in trouble and that rural Ireland is going to die. And I think that's the point really that Danny Healy-Rae is making. His line is actually quite a nice one. They've closed down pubs in rural Kerry and they've left the social fabric in smithereens.
Yeah.
I think maybe he's not wrong.
No, and there's nobody suggesting that drink driving is right. And again, I think he made the point that, you know, this permit that he was suggesting was for like a third grade road. Probably the road that the farmer with two or three pints in him would take home. He would be the only tractor or the only vehicle on it all week. That's the kind of road he's talking about.
That's the kind of road he's talking about. No, unfortunately, look, we do walk those roads. And if it were you one of our family that was hit by somebody with two or three pints and a permit in his back pocket, you'd have a different story, I suppose. And look, but there has to be a happy medium found here somewhere.
Somewhere along the line. George, the health service is seldom out of the news, but this week it was in the news for, I suppose, they would consider a good reason. The health service will be more challenged heading into this year's winter season. But the HSE, the Health Service Executive, has said that it is confident that it can achieve the targets set under its winter plan. Announcing this plan on Thursday, the HSE said that €26 million would be allocated by the end of this year in an attempt to ease the pressure on hospitals in what is traditionally the busiest period of the year. Is it a case of here we go again?
Yeah, Jerry, look, I suppose the squeak that you're hearing is not from my chair. It's from the deck chair has been rearranged on the Titanic in the state. Because, look, every year we come up with a different type of a plan, and every year it's a complete and unmitigated disaster. The problem lies, Jerry, in the fact that they're not moving people through the hospitals fast enough. And the reason for that is that the step-down beds aren't there, that the access to diagnostics isn't in place, that there are more complex issues now presenting in hospitals, but also that our accident and emergency services. If I got a cut here in the and it was nothing terribly serious that needed a few stitches, I'd actually be very slow to go to the A&E because they'd have to send out a search and rescue for me after 3 days sitting there waiting to be looked after.
And to be healed up by then.
It would or cut off one or the other.
Yeah.
The most entertaining part of going out there is people watching, because you get every sort of a character out there. And you know what? A lot of people, we spoke about it there with the Healy-Rae story, a lot of people go out there simply because they want company as well.
That's right.
And they do sit there, and the characters that you meet out there on a Saturday night are different to the ones on a Sunday, because on a Sunday when you go in there at a certain time of the day, you'll be met with a line of lads that have legs in casts and soccer gear and, and all of that. Look, we have to look at this, Jar, and we have to say, how can we best manage our accident and emergency services? Because then an emergency comes in an ambulance and everything else comes to a complete standstill.
Yeah.
And you're 3 days there and there's people on trolleys, and God love them. And I've been there, I've stood next to elderly people who I've brought in there myself on trolleys, and it's just not fair. I mean, your personal details have been trotted out in front of you. There's lines of people waiting for it. There's no dignity. You know, there was a guy got €7,500 yesterday for slopping out in a prison, you know. But some of the stuff that goes on in hospitals is far more invasive than that, and it's been done in the public eye. I was actually in the hospital one night when a lady died in front of me.
Go ahead.
And, you know, there was no dignity in that. So, look, Ger, I mean, 26 million here, 26 million there. I just think that they need to have a root and branch and figure out, you know, how do we get to a stage where this isn't a news story every winter?
All right. A story, I suppose, that the victims involved in this particular case will have a very difficult time getting the information to the Gardaí, because the Gardaí are investigating attacks on sex workers, and they have said that there may be more victims of the recent spate of assaults. Gardaí said that 7 attacks have taken place on sex workers advertising services online since mid-October. And as I said, difficult if you're in that line of work to go to the police and say, look, this has happened.
Yeah, Ger, but number one, obviously what they're doing is illegal. But I suppose on another purely human level, some of these people are illegal in the country, are involved in the business. And number three, of course, some of these people actually are being trafficked in and out of the country. And that is a major issue as well that has appeared in this. So 7 could become 70 very, very quickly if they started investigating it. It's probably the lowest of the low when it comes to a crime, when you think about it, because these are people, they know that they're not going to be in a position to be able to report it. They seem to be just after the money side of things here. Again, taking money from people that are most vulnerable in society is never good. The Gardaí, and they're being led by Detective Chief Superintendent Declan Daly, have said that they're appealing for information, as some victims feel reluctant, obviously, to come forward, as we've said. And he said that there were a high number of vulnerable people in the industry, as well as a high element of exploitation going on there as well. The way that this works is that on each occasion an online appointment is made, but when the parties involved meet, the sex worker is attacked and robbed by a number of men. Mm-hmm. And you just hope Gardaí can help get to the bottom of this and help out these people in as much as they possibly can.
Now, speaking about getting to the bottom of something, this story is still very much in the news, and it's one that will most likely move on at a very rapid rate from now on. 3 people have been arrested and released over the weekend in relation to the abduction and assault of Quinn Industrial Holdings director Kevin Lunny. It's great to see that the British and the Irish police forces are knuckling down and trying to get to terms with this story, and I suppose tidying up the whole border area if they can as well.
That's the critical part of this, Ger, that you know, that there is an element of lawlessness that is seen to be along the border. But look, just to bring it back to the story that this is, I think the people in Quinn Industrial Holdings are actually being very brave about this, because it would be very, very easy for them to pull the plug and walk away and leave 750 or 1,000 people or whatever it is out of jobs. They have chosen not to do that. They didn't get a whole lot of help from the Gardaí or the PSNI, as it looks in the early stages. But to be fair, the guards now have put their shoulders to the wheel very much. They seem to be at idem with the PSNI on this, and they seem to be working their way through. You would hope that there will be prosecutions and that this particular problem will be hit with a sledgehammer in the next couple of weeks.
Mm. Now, George, we were talking about rural pubs there just a few moments ago, but it seems that the urban pubs and the whole nightlife scene is under the spotlight as well, because a consultation on Ireland's pub and nightclub opening hours is to take place, and Oireachtas Committee has heard. The move comes after stakeholders in the nightlife industry called for licensing laws to be modernised and brought more in line with other EU countries. This is something, I suppose, that is well overdue at this stage.
It is. When you look at the years of the licensing acts, Ger, and the first licensing act that they operate under at the moment is the 1833 Licensing Act. Now there is another one, obviously, in 2018. But look, over the years, Ireland has changed, and we've spoken about that. You know, we're far more discerning, I suppose, in our entertainment at this stage as well. You know, you go back to the 1960s and, you know, pubs and dances didn't sell alcohol at all. Well, pubs did, but dances didn't sell alcohol.
That's right, yeah.
Shut down during the months of Advent and Lent. And, you know, there was all sorts of strange little quirky things that were unique to Ireland introduced in our licensing laws. And the holy hour on a Sunday when lads were to put in the morning and to be thrown out and allowed back in then an hour later. And I could never quite figure that one out, you know. It was a mystery, because it was a holy hour.
There you go.
There was all sorts of other reasons. And again, you and I mean, in our younger days, would have always done gigs. And, you know, one of the questions when somebody rang to book you was, is it a late night or an early night? As if they didn't have an exemption, it was finished at 12:30. If they did, it was up to 2:00. Mm-hmm. And obviously priced accordingly, Ger, didn't you?
Oh, I never did, George. Never did that. I would offer it up.
You would, of course, yeah. You're always a bit like that. The other thing is that, and you and I, again, have been there collecting kids, I suppose, from nightclubs and other sources of entertainment. And everyone is disgorged now out onto the street at 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm. And for that 1 hour afterwards, it is just madness. You have people that are tanked to their gills, all interacting with each other. Taxis are impossible to come by. And it's only for that 1 hour in the entire week, yeah, when the taxi drivers are trying to make a living. Fast food restaurants are the same. The guards are under pressure. Everyone is under pressure. So I think there is a lot of sense to be talked here that if we can manage to, if we can use the term stagger.
all was the wordsmith.
The licensing and the timings particularly around it, that probably makes a little bit more sense.
And we're all about sense. Finally, George, finally, I should say, we like to end on a happy note where possible. And an appeal went out over the last 24 hours for a missing 80-year-old man who was suffering from Alzheimer's, missing from his home in Clondalkin in County Dublin. And there's good news.
There is, Ger, because the Gardaí have issued a statement to say that Mr. Tom Carey, who does suffer from Alzheimer's, has been found safe and well. And that's fantastic. They thank the public for their assistance in helping to locate them. But I think it goes beyond that, Ger. I think that speaks to me about what Ireland is really like, because you can be sure that the people of Clondalkin were out and about looking for this man this morning. You know, that there was people out looking for him. There was people making sandwiches for the people that were looking for him. You know, there was pubs probably making the cup of tea and making things available. And you can be sure that the best of the community came out and supported the people in the family. I think that speaks to what Ireland is. And, you know, in these days when you may or may not even know who's living next door to you, I think it just speaks volumes for Ireland that when the chips are down, people do come around. And, you know, I've been thinking about this as well a little bit over the last while, even in terms of funerals and the way funerals are conducted around the world. I think the way we do it in Ireland is lovely, that, you know, that the whole community wraps around people and gives people an opportunity to know that you care. And that's not the way it is everywhere. And I've been speaking to people, you know, that have gone through the grieving process in other parts of the world, and it's not always that way. So look, clap on the back to Ireland. Wonderful for Tom Carey and the family.
Absolutely lovely. All right, George, that is the good news to end our little bit for this week. Now, you did mention the book at the start, and since you've mentioned it, it crossed my mind that I should have been thanking you as well, because you were the editor of the book.
I was, yeah. Actually, so, I was very good at editing it, Jerry. You're very good. And I do note that that one of the comments on Facebook that appeared after it was, considering that Sweeney never opened a book, I don't know how he managed to write one.
I think that was our good friend Des Hen from Limerick that penned that.
Absolutely. And of course, Des would know all about being a thespian, wouldn't he?
Oh, no, he wouldn't.
But just again, because I'm a little bit confused, you might just tell me if I wanted to buy that book now, where would I find it?
EmeraldConnection.net, George. Anyway, look, another week done and dusted. Have you anything nice planned for the coming week?
I know, just waiting for your phone call, Ger, really. I sit around all week waiting for it.
Listen, thanks a million. I do appreciate it. From this G and that G, thanks very much. Gee whiz, huh?
Good night and God bless.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net. Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
I did say to you that I would be playing for you the number one song in Ireland on this very day back in 1966. And the man by the name of Johnny McAvoy is no stranger to us on the programme. I've played him many times. He's still gigging, still going strong, which is terrific. And he was at number one in Ireland in 1966 on this very day, the 18th of November, with a song called Mairsín Dorcan. Let's take a listen to it right now.
Days I went to court, and I was never tired resorting to the alehouse or the playhouse, or many's a house beside. I told me brother Seamus I'd go off and go right famous, and before I'd come back again, I'd roam the world wide. So goodbye, Mercy Darkin. I'm sick and tired of working. The more I'll take the praises, no longer I'll be fool. Sure as my name is Carney, I'll be off to California, where instead of digging praises, I'll be digging lumps of gold. I've courted girls in Blarney, in Kanturk and in Killarney, in Passage and in Queenstown, that is the Cove of Cork. Goodbye to all this pleasure, for I'm going to take me leisure, and the next that you will hear from me is a letter from New York. So goodbye, Mercy Darkin, I'm sick and tired of working. The more I'll take the praises, the longer I'll be fool. Sure as my name is Carney, I'll be off to California, where instead of digging praises, I'll be digging lumps of gold. To all the boys at home, I'm sailing far across the foam to try and make me fortune in far America. There's gold and money plenty for the poor and for the gentry, and when I come back again, I never more will say goodbye, Mercy Darkin. I'm sick and tired of working. The more I'll dig the praises, no longer I'll be fool. Sure as my name is Carney, I'll be off to California, but instead of digging praises, I'll be digging lumps of gold.
The wonderful voice of Johnny McAvoy. He was at number one in Ireland on this day, 1966. Right, so I did tell you that we would be talking, well, we would hear from an Irish student based in Hong Kong, and things haven't been good there. Ben, as you know, is a producer, or is the producer of the Tip FM morning programme, which is called Tip Today. And the programme is presented by Fran Curry. And it happens that I know this young lad that they were talking to, and this is how this came about. And they spoke with him about his experience in Hong Kong, and he did a good job of explaining what was going on. And I thought we should hear from him. So thanks to Fran Curry and to Ben Sweeney in Tip FM from Tip Today for allowing us to use this piece today. And I'll hand you over to Fran.
Dozens of foreign students have been urged to leave Hong Kong after another round of clashes left several people seriously injured. Protests are continuing and all schools have been closed today. Now, anti-government protesters and police have clashed at the region's universities, financial districts and indeed on the streets. Now, my next guest is a Tipperary native who is on a study abroad programme in Hong Kong and found himself in the middle of some of these disturbances. And Luke Ryan joins me from Hong Kong right now. Good morning to you, Luke.
Good morning to you, too.
And good to talk to you today. Tell me why you're there in the first place, Luke.
Well, it was part of my program in UCD that I had the opportunity to go travel abroad for the year and study economics at a college. I picked to go to Hong Kong, and I had my intentions of staying out here for the year, continuing my studies. But unfortunately, that kind of come to an end at the moment anyway.
And the protests that are going on and becoming very violent, is it simplistic to say that it's all about the controversial extradition bill being put forward by Hong Kong?
It was initially started with that, but now it's gone more towards the five demands. I don't actually know all of them, but generally it's kind of a democracy and independence thing now that they're looking more towards.
You were caught up in some of this, Luke. Can you give us some of those experiences?
It was very easy to avoid a lot of the protests and kind of riots that were happening when I first came out here, because it was always happening in like the city centre, and usually would just affect a certain couple of streets. So you could easily just like navigate around them or just avoid going into the city completely. But in the last 3 or 4 days, protests have come out to pretty much every college and university in Hong Kong. And so I got an email from the dean basically saying that classes were cancelled on Monday. And then a lady came to knock on my dorm door saying that to turn off the AC because tear gas had been fired into the college, and they didn't want it to come into the rooms via the air conditioning unit. And then looking out the window and like looking from the roof of our building, we could see it kind of unfold with fires and clashes with police and petrol bombs and tear gas being fired from both ends. And it really developed and kind of got more and more intense as the day went on. It became quite frightening at times, but we were told to just stay in our dorms, and that's kind of what we did do. The college was great in informing us on what to do, and so was UCD. They were very supportive. Yeah, there was a couple of scary few days on campus, but then it has seemed to have fizzled out now, and we were lucky enough to be able to leave campus. The protesters had barricaded most of the entrances and pretty much taken over the entire university. So we were some of the last to get out, but we were happy to be out.
It appears from what I'm seeing on our television screens over here, Luke, that the police are heavy-handed, to say the least. Would you agree with that?
There's very much a negative opinion of the police from the locals out here. You wouldn't have to walk very far to see graffiti saying that, slating the police and claiming police brutality. And we were told if there was any sign of trouble to stay away from it because for fear of actions from the police. So yeah, you could say that there'd be a very negative opinion towards them currently.
I was in Hong Kong quite a few times, but it was before it reverted back to Chinese control. At that time, it was a magical place to go. I mean, is it still exotic and wonderful if you leave aside what's happening?
I've loved my time out here. I've had a fantastic time. The city's fantastic. It's vibrant and exciting. Like I said before, protests and trouble used to only affect certain areas in the city. So, like, you could just go down to a different suburb and stuff like that, and you'd swear there was no protest going on at all, because it is a very big city as well. Mm. So, like, even now at the hotel we're at, you'd swear there was no trouble going on.
Right.
It's very easy to avoid, but when it came to the campus, we couldn't really avoid it.
Right.
That was a big issue for us, yeah.
Very frightening indeed. Now, are you coming home? Is that what's happening at the moment?
Yeah, so classes have actually been cancelled for the semester. The college will be closing till hopefully reopening in January. So I will be continuing my studies at home. So I'll be doing all my assignments and stuff online, and the lectures will be put online. So yes, I will be returning home.
And would you like to return to Hong Kong at some other time?
My experience out here has been very, very positive. The people out here are lovely. It's a very beautiful city, and I would love to return out sometime in the future.
I think that gives us a jolly good insight into what has been happening in Hong Kong and the way it is. And you can hear from Luke's voice that he was very much in love with Hong Kong. It's a fabulous city, and it's great that he's going to be able to return home and continue his studies online, which is great, and fingers crossed that he will be returning to Hong Kong in better times. So thank you again to Fran Curry and to Ben Sweeney from Tip Today on Tip FM for allowing me to use that little piece. Will we take a break? I think we should, and come back to me and I'll talk to you more about the top 10, or search for the top 10 songs or artists, Irish songs or Irish artists, as voted by the TRE listeners.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net. Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Coming back to our search for the top 10 Irish songs or artists, I got a number of emails throughout the week. One of those from a lady by the name of Ange Mannion. Angela, I presume, but Ange Mannion from Marbella. And thank you very much for your very kind email. And she said, Ger, you might consider two of my favourite songs, one being Liam Clancy's Shoals of Herring, and the other being Sinead O'Connor's wonderful rendition of the Prince song Nothing Compares to You. Both beautiful songs. I thought I'd play one of those tonight for you. And here it is, Ange. Liam Clancy and Shoals of Herring.
With our nets and gear, we're faring on the wild and wasteful ocean. It's out there on the deep that we harvest and reap our bread.
as we hunt the bloody shores of herring. It was on a fair and a pleasant day, out of Yarmouth Harbour I was faring, as a cabin boy or a sailing lugger, for to hunt the bonny shoals of herring. Oh, we left the home grounds in the month of June, and for canny shields we soon were bearing, with 100 crown of the silver darlings that we'd taken from the shoals of herring. Now the work was hard and the hours were long, and the treatment sure it took some daring, and I used to sleep standing on me feet, and I'd dream about the shoals of herring. Your net rope man now, boy, you're on the move, you can swear and show a manly bearing, take your turn on deck with the other fellas as you're following the shoals of herring. Now you're up on deck, you're a fisherman, and you're learning all about seafaring. That's your education, scraps of navigation, as you hunt the bonny shoals of herring. Stormy seas and the living gales, I earned the gear that I was wearing, sailed 10,000 miles, caught 10 million fishes, as we hunted for the shoals of herring. And it's night and day we're faring. Come winter wave or winter gale, sweating our cold, growing up, growing old, or dying, we will hunt the bonny shore.
Absolutely stunning, isn't it? The wonderful Liam Clancy, and if he doesn't feature in the top 10, I will be very surprised. I go as far as to say I'd eat my hat, except for I don't really want to do that. But anyway, it was chosen by Ange Mannion. Ange, thanks again. I also got a lovely email from Jason Jessup. In fact, I got a few emails from him, and a man that knows his folk music and likes his folk music, and sent me his top 10. So thanks very much. I'll play those. I will play them, but it won't be all at once, and I will certainly include them in our search for the top 10. And I'm going to leave you this evening with a song that he requested I play. In fact, a song that I was hoping to play last week on the programme, but just didn't get to it. Before I go, though, can I say thank you very much to our friends at Tip FM. Well, to my son, Ben, the producer of Tip Today, and the presenter, Fran Curry, for giving us the little piece with Luke Ryan from Hong Kong. Thank you also to George, the G2 Summit man, and a big thank you to you for listening. As always, can I say thank you to our Spanish-Irish cultural consultant and correspondent, Jose Antonio Sierra. And I'm going to leave you with this particular song, as chosen by Jason Jessup, a fabulous song from Luke Kelly called Scorn Not His Simplicity. Until next week, from me, Ger Sweeney, look after yourselves and each other. And thanks for listening. Bye-bye now.
See the child with the golden hair but eyes that show the emptiness inside. Do we know, can we understand just how he feels, or have we really tried? See him now as he stands alone and watches children play a children's game. Simple child,
He looks almost like the others, yet they know he's not the same. Scorn not his simplicity, but rather try to love him all the more. Scorn not his simplicity, oh no, oh no. See him stare, not recognizing that kind face that only yesterday he loved. The loving face of a mother who can't understand what she's been guilty of. How she cried tears of happiness the day the doctor told her it's a boy. Now she cries tears of helplessness and thinks of all the things he can't enjoy. Scorn not his simplicity, but rather try to love him all the more. Scorn not his simplicity, oh no. How to face the future hopefully surrounded by despair. He won't ask for your pity or your sympathy, but surely you should care. Scorn not his simplicity, but rather try to love him all the more. Scorn not his simplicity, oh no, oh no, oh no.
Ger Sweeney presents Live on Air in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.